You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Come to the site now, check out all the good stuff we have here to get you set up for the deeper part of the NFL offseason, a virtual one for a while here until we turn the corner for training camp and maybe teams can get back to normal there in practicing and preparing for what will be a unique NFL season here, reality and fantasy-wise. So as we count down to that, we're continuing our look around the league here that we've started. We looked at offensive lines. We looked at sleepers and busts. Now we continue. We're going to look at the running back depth charts here. So we've talked a lot about running back situations this offseason, what's changed, what's stayed the same, what coaches are thinking. Well, we're going to put it all together here. So in convenient form, to find out the pulse of all the teams here, all 32. We'll break it up as we usually do, AFC, NFC, go division by division, east to west here over two shows. We'll do that with the running backs here. And we'll also come back later in the week looking at the wide receiver situation. So just giving you a lay of the land to see who's all in on what team, how deep these teams go, what could be the curveballs that come out of these backfield and receiving situation. So doing that for the next four shows, we'll do AFC running backs, then go to running backs in the NFC, then do the same with AFC wide receivers and NFC wide receivers. So every team we'll get to look in depth, and that's what we're doing here in this offseason to kind of set the table for you, advanced scouting as deep as possible. And that's Locked On Fantasy Football for you on a regular basis throughout the offseason. Before we dive in, I got to tell you that today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your very first order. All right, let's dive right in. If we're talking AFC, where we usually start is in the East, and the first team is always the Buffalo Bills. So let's look at their situation. Now, we're trying to read into this Zach Moss drafting. Devin Singletary is number one on the depth chart right now. They moved on from Frank Gore. TJ Yeldon is still on the team, by the way. They've picked him up from the Jaguars last year. And Tywan Jones, a guy that's kind of bounced around. He started as a defensive back with the Raiders, switched to running back. He's got some special teams value, and that's why he's lasted so long in the NFL, Tywan Jones. So Singletary, Moss, Yeldon, Jones, their backfield. Yeldon, they're keeping around maybe to be that swing backup because we know he filled in for Leonard Fournette pretty well a couple years ago. Kind of just was the lost man, odd man out in this Bills backfield last year with Gore and Singletary. I don't think that changes much with Moss now there instead in the mix versus Gore. Zach Moss, Singletary, how that's going to play out looks like a potentially even split. So Yeldon could be just used very limited occasions. He could even be released here because Gore at least had the age issue where they had to keep Yeldon around as a extra contingency plan. But here Moss is a young fresh back rookie from Utah that they love. Devin Singletary, a lot of momentum from last year. They can be the change of pace to each other here, cover all the bases, all the downs, power receiving situation. So that doesn't leave a lot for Yeldon unless both of these guys go down. Jones, again, some special teams value there, but it's what's going to be the hardest thing we're going to track throughout the offseason program to training camp, how it looks like Moss and Singletary could operate together in this backfield. Remember, they didn't give Singletary the full job here. He did get some significant touches later in the year as Gore slowed down, but he simply wasn't declared the man. And Moss is a talented, higher upside back than Gore at this point. So I think you have to watch that very carefully. Moss could easily cut into Singletary. That's why I really liked Moss being a nice stash here in later rounds. The next team that comes up in the AFC East is the Miami Dolphins. We talked a little bit about their backfield remixed. They didn't go out and get the feature back either in free agency or in the draft, but they traded for Jordan Howard. Matt Breida was also traded for. Still have Patrick Laird and Kalen Ballage. So Miles Gaskin looks like he's done out of this mix. for good here. Bellage is hanging on by a thread. Laird did some nice things in their offense last year, probably overextended himself as a back in this offense. So I don't see him covering a big role, but he could be a swing backup the way that Rex Burkhead or player of that nature was there. I think Matt Breida is more your James White, and Jordan Howard is very similar to your power back role in New England, like a Sonny Michel. So given Brian Flores comes from there, it's a little change up. It's no longer Chad O'Shea at offense coordinator, but Chan Gailey. We'll see how they use that. But I think it's going to be a pretty clear-cut committee approach here. Howard and Breida also not completely healthy, so they had to keep Laird some young, fresh legs around. A lot more effective than Bellage. So when you look at that overall, I think you have to say this is a Howard Breida split, ideally. Howard, again, through his time with the Bears and Eagles, limited in the passing game. Breida has had a lot of opportunities there because there's been some other guys, most notably Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman, who can eat in the receiving role. But at this point, you look at this Howard Breida backfield, that's how it's going to be kind of split up pretty even here. And health could open the door for one of these guys to really have a bigger role. Howard is not incapable of catching passes if you need him on a limited basis. He's a good finisher in the red zone. Breida can also offer a lot of burst, a little speed and quickness on the outside as well when healthy. So we'll monitor this backfield because it's cloudy. It's not what the solution we expected here when they had Laird, Bellage, and Gaskin finish the season last year post Kenny Drake. But it's still kind of messy. We want to see it a little sorted out here in camps. The next team we talk about in this division is the New England Patriots. This one is pretty easy. Still Sonny Michel, the early power down back. James White, the receiving back. Doesn't matter that Jared Simmons is there. White and Stidham may not have the same connection as Tom Brady, but Michel, certainly with a two tight end investment, the offensive line getting healthy. They're going to be a run-heavy team here. That means Rex Burkhead could still have a key role as a swing player. He can catch passes if needed, but also do the red zone finishing for Michel as well between the tackles if needed. So Burkhead's been valuable. Where does that leave Damian Harris, the second-year player from Alabama? That's a big question. We wonder why they drafted him at this point. Maybe Nick Saban favor, something like that. How are they going to work him in? But certainly a lot of mysterious reasons for drafting Harris, and we'll see what they can get out of here and get him out of here in his second year with Harris. So interesting backfield situation, but I think the Patriots were loading up. Maybe anticipated Brady leaving, wanted to have a deep backfield, different options to run the ball, go pretty heavy in that direction. It's not something you want to slip past Bill Belichick there, Josh McDaniels, that they're going to adjust the other way. Everyone's going pass crazy, but they look at the two tight ends, the great offensive line, these teams built defensively to stop teams spreading the field with multiple receivers. Well, they can just run down the throats of these teams, and maybe that's why. Kind of a foresight in good drafting Harris. So Harris is someone we're definitely going to watch. Michel has been solid but not spectacular that early down role. Burkhead getting a little older, has some durability issues of his own. So Harris certainly going to watch, and Patriots backfield is unpredictable as ever with the usage and roles here in 2020. We finish here with the AFC East and the New York Jets. Le'Veon Bell still listed as a starter. He feels better and healthier. Their offensive line is a little upgraded, but the problem is they really remix the backfield behind him. They get Frank Gore, Kenneth Dixon, and Josh Adams. So these guys, we've had key roles from all of them on different teams. Gore for a long time and multiple teams. His third stop here in the AFC East after playing for the Dolphins and Bills. You got Dixon, who was once a very promising runner with the Ravens before some off-field issues. Josh Adams was a good fill-in power back for the Eagles before they acquired Howard last year. He was notably known for what he did in the 2018 season, filling in a rookie from Notre Dame at that point. So interesting mix here. They move on from the Bilal Powell, Ty Montgomery type of situation there that they had there. So completely remixed situation here. We've seen different guys cycle in through there, but this is an Adam Gase overall. In 2 years here, the backfield was completely different. So Bell certainly has a lot of opportunities to see a feature role, but they do have connection, Gase and Gore. Dixon, a little fresh legs in here. Adams, more of a straight-up power back. Dixon with some explosive ability as well, if he can get straight on the field. I would expect it's a battle between Dixon and Adams for the final spot, but Gore certainly looks like he could have a key role here with Bell. So we're going to watch this carefully. Bell, we know Adam Gase hasn't been a big fan, and he's going to be a free agent potentially next year as they can cut him without little without much of a hit there with the contract. So again, this is a key season for Bell. Do they pivot to Gore? Then they start over backfield next year. A lot of things to watch. Gaddam Gase, another head scratching one when he had Kenny Drake there and didn't use him in the best way down in Miami. And he had Gore and he was favoring Gore there. And then eventually Drake had to be dealt last year post Gase. So all kinds of things developing with the Gase backfield that you have to be ready to expect. All right, well, that takes care of the backfield depth chart update here from the AFC East. We still have 12 more teams in the AFC to get to on today's show, but I got to tell you first more about Built Bar. When I said Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, it's absolutely true. They have 16 amazing flavors and counting. They keep growing. They originally started with 8 chocolate nut flavors, 8 chocolate nut-free flavors, and with that chocolate, it's 100%, and the bars are covered in that 100% chocolate. You won't get the dry, chalky taste of other protein bars. These protein bars you want to have for your good taste and eat it as a snack anytime. Maybe it's the morning to get you going. Maybe in the midday to pick you up. Maybe it's at night after you're recovering from your workout. Built bars are good for you anytime there. And Built bars, on top of a tasting great, they're extremely healthy for you as well. It's great for anyone who's health conscious. You can lose or maintain weight and still indulge in a delicious treat here. The Built Bar has a great profile for you. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Just take their mint brownie. 15 grams protein, 110 calories, 4 grams sugar, 5 grams net carb. Delicious flavor, great for you. You can't beat that in your protein bar. That's exactly what you're looking for. And it gets better for you, the listener to Locked On Fantasy Football. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code Locked On. You'll get $10 off your first order. Again, just use the promo code Locked On. You'll get $10 off at BuiltBar.com. We'll be right back here to break down the backfield situations in the AFC North. All right, let's continue the show. We're doing our look now around the AFC. Looking at the running back situations, we went through the Bills, Dolphins, Patriots, Jets in the East. Now it's time to start looking at the North. The Baltimore Ravens come up first here, as they always do in this division. For now, it looks like it could be a four-headed monster, and that's not great for fantasy. Mark Ingram still in the lead here as an older back on the other side of 30 returning, but J.K. Dobbins quickly number two on the depth chart here. The rookie from Ohio State, very dynamic. Probably headed to a number one trajectory here. Gus Edwards is the number three. Justice Hill is the number four. So all of a sudden, a very crowded situation on an elite rushing offense with Lamar Jackson. Anything can go here, but so far, John Harbaugh is saying it's going to be a four-man split here. That's not good for anyone in fantasy football. You know, that's coaches speak, however. And Dobbins is clearly the most talented back with the freshest legs. Can do everything for this offense. So Edwards is kind of limited to being an early down guy. Hill's got some nice burst as a speed back with some power, but maybe none of those guys offer exactly what the Ravens want in the receiving game. Ingram is pretty good in that capacity. He grew into that with the Saints. Dobbins is excellent in the passing game. Good pass protector as well to stay on the field on the third down. So I'd say this is Dobbins' chance to really explode here. When you have a four-headed monster in the backfield, it leaves it open for somebody to really emerge, and I think that's what sets up here for Dobbins. They didn't plan on drafting Dobbins. He just was the best value. They couldn't pass on him there for this backfield, so he complicates things for sure. And again, Mark Ingram had the injury issue, started to fade a little bit last year. Edwards is, again, limited back. He'll show a little bit of burst as a rookie, but not as much, so this is the Dobbins potential to be in the driver's seat in this backfield once the season begins here in 2020. Let's go to the Cincinnati Bengals. It's a Joe Mixon backfield here. Gio Bernard, however, still there as the change of pace and receiving back when needed in this offense. How is it going to be here with Joe Burrow? We'll see. But I figure there's going to be quite a few checkdowns to help Mixon and Bernard in the attack. And the offensive line should be better with Jonah Williams. But Mixon clearly is going to be the lead back here. Bernard, limited role. You have Trevion Williams, too, from Texas A&M. He's in the mix, as well as Rodney Anderson, another back like Mixon from Oklahoma. So a bit of a crowd there, but Mixon is capable of handing 20-plus touches per game. Bernard can handle 10 to 15 if needed and be a super sub for Mixon if he's on the shelf. So I don't think his backfield is going to change too much. I think you'll see a lot of Mixon, Bernard helping Joe Burrow here and what they want to do with their offense. It's Zach Taylor. I think it'll come a little bit more to fruition as they have better health and better depth at wide receiver with A.J. Green coming back, T. Higgins, the rookie, helping Tyler Boyd, maybe spreading out the field a little bit with the 11 personnel, allowing a little easier running for Mixon Bernard, as well as a few offensive line upgrades. Let's go to the Browns. This one is pretty easy. It's going to be Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, pretty fairly even split. Chubb is going to handle most of the power work, the touchdowns. Hunt should be heavily involved in the receiving game. Both of these guys finished there as RB1-2 down the stretch last year. So Chubb and Hunt, they like this combination. They're going to use it more. We saw the Dalvin Cook, Alexander Mattison combo work so well for Kevin Stefanski. I think the odd man out is going to be Dontrell Hilliard. They've liked him in the receiving role in the past, but Hunt does that very well. He can also cross over and do some of the things Chubb does in early down. So Dearness Johnson's their other back here. But Chubb and Hunt, pretty much I would say it's going to be a 60-40 situation at best in favor of Chubb. It might be closer to 50-50 here to use both of these backs. But again, Chubb is so explosive. He doesn't need too much here with upgraded offensive line on both the tackles here with Jedrick Wills, Jack Conklin. You have more two tight end sets. So I'd say Chubb is still going to be the bread and butter with the key touches. Hunt is going to be more of the PPR appealing back here, but not much is going to change here from what we saw down the stretch because it really worked well for this Browns backfield with a different coaching staff. The next team on the list, the Pittsburgh Steelers here, and all offseason, it's pretty much not a vote of confidence on James Conner, and he's already had his confidence shaken a little bit that he may not be able to return here. Went to Pitt. He's all about Pitt. He had a good story here. Handled the role pretty well, but we'll see. There's a lot of competition here. Jalen Samuels is a bit of a tight end hybrid. He's still in the mix right now. He'd be the number two. Benny Snell is your power back from Kentucky, the second year back there in the mix. And Anthony McFarland from Maryland as your other back, speedster a little bit. So Snell and McFarland have different skill sets. Snell going straight ahead power, McFarland open field explosiveness. You have Samuels who offers a little bit of everything. They're a jack of all trades out of the backfield. And Connor, again, the biggest thing with him is the durability. And I think that it's also a little bit of concern over the explosiveness that he's not going to necessarily give you big plays. That's why you went out and drafted McFarland if you're Pittsburgh. So it's going to be pretty messy. Steelers have typically liked one back. Le'Veon Bell had been that guy for a while when Bell went down or they didn't have him. They had D'Angelo Williams for a while that stretch. But now I think they're embracing a little bit more committee out of necessity here. That's where it's headed to with James Conner. And Conner just looks like a fantasy player you want to avoid here in 2020. Let's start looking at the AFC South teams. You have the Texans here in their backfield. The Johnsons lead it, the unrelated D. Johnsons, David Johnson, Duke Johnson. Duke Johnson didn't see a lot in the receiving role. They are not a big checkdown team, but Duke's value is pretty much crushed by David there because David Johnson's strength is in the receiving game. He's got also the power ability, score touchdown. So Duke is pretty much a straight-up backup now. They also have a guy named Buddy Howell in the mix that they can look at out of Florida Atlantic, once a teammate of Devin Singletary. So we'll see how that plays out for depth here as they move on from Carlos Hyde, Lamar Miller, and really remix his backfield other than Duke Johnson. And Kieran Higdon, I liked him out of Michigan, a good power back. It's a tough yards there. He's in the mix as well. But again, David Johnson, you can't assume he's going to stay healthy. He's getting a little older. We'll see if Duke can step in there and have a bigger role. He's always kind of lobbied that he can be more than a pass catching, receiving back only here. That's kind of what pushed him out of Cleveland. He wanted a bigger role, but that didn't kind of materialize in Houston because of the way Hyde came on for them last year. So interesting combination here to move on from what they had last year and the last couple of years with Miller there and Hyde. And it's looking like a lot of David Johnson and a little bit of Duke behind him, and we'll see how it plays out between Higdon and Howell to round out the depth chart. We'll get to one more team here in the AFC South before we take a break. This is the Indianapolis Colts. We've told you a lot about Marlon Mack, Jonathan Taylor. They want to make this potentially an early down even split between these two, but how does it play out behind them with Nyheim Hines and Wilkins? We'll have to see how that happens here because Hines has the best receiving ability, I think pure receiving ability of this group here. Mack is going to give you nothing there. Taylor has certainly proved capable of that. Wisconsin to catch passes, so that's going to be the thing. Do the Colts feel confident in Taylor that they can put him down out there for three downs and he's going to produce a level, or do they want to hedge the bets by have Mack cutting into his work on the early downs, Hines cutting into his work in the passing situations, and Wilkins kind of doing a little bit of everything as a kind of the swing backup behind Taylor. So it's a little messy. I don't know if they're going to keep Hines and Wilkins. It seems a little overkill to have all four backs in the mix and try to find roles for them. Wilkins does give some ability in special teams to watch out for, but Colts backfield, they're a run-heavy team. They want to have different roles for different guys. They've said that Marlon Mack is not necessarily going anywhere in terms of seeing key touches early in power situations. So all things we want to watch with Indianapolis going forward. But this also can end up messier than you think, despite the second-round drafting of Taylor in 2020. There you have it. All right, so there's 10 teams down for you in the AFC looking at their backfield depth charts. We still have six to go. The rest of the AFC South and the entire AFC West. We'll do that in a moment. But first, I got to tell you, make sure you're checking out the flagship show here on the Locked On NFL Network for your reality pro football needs. That'll be Locked On NFL, hosted by Brian Peacock and featuring Matt Williamson, a former NFL scout. So good stuff there to check out. Again, on the network, a team-by-team podcast, our main show, Locked On NFL, Locked On NFL Draft, Draft Dudes. We've got you covered here. All kinds of football throughout the offseason to bridge the gap as we hopefully count down to a full complete season there in September. We'll be right back to wrap up the show looking at our AFC backfield depth charts. All right, let's continue here and close the show. We still have two more teams from the AFC South. Number one is the Jaguars, and Leonard Fournette, it's not looking good for Leonard Fournette beyond 2020 to hold this job in Jacksonville. They didn't pick up his option. This is a key year for him to at least show that he can last with another team to be very productive. He was very productive last year. He just didn't have the touchdowns in fantasy football, only three. That was very disappointing. He did have a key receiving role, which helped his value. But now comes Chris Thompson, who worked really well with Jay Gruden. If Thompson can stay healthy, he's going to be the primary receiving back here in a lot of those situations. Third downs, obvious down and distance where they need to throw the ball with the Gardner Minshew. So that's not good news for Thompson. Neither is Reichwell Armstead being a good complete back here to have now as a number three. They also have Divine Ozigbo from Nebraska is their fourth back, a little-known back, but again, Fournette certainly has his work cut out to keep a key role here with Jay Gruden, given Gruden and Thompson have familiarity. Fournette starting from scratch. I think the key for him, staying healthy once again, but proving that he can finish and have those explosive runs and touchdowns here. And does he get trust as much? So it's a tough situation right now. Armstead, if something were to happen to Fournette, I think he would be the guy that would get the key touches in different situations. I think Thompson's role is not going to change. He's going to be the receiving back of choice and really support what they have at wideout and tight end here in remixed offense for Minshew and Gruden here. That includes a legitimate tight end now, Tyler Eifert, another speed receiver, Laviska Shenault. So they're just trying to change the options for Minshew. Fournette, limited as a receiver. He's pretty good in that role, but again, Thompson is a specialist in that area. So tough backfield there to consider behind Fournette. Fournette still has some RB2 value, but it's certainly on the decline here with this crowd added with Thompson in there. We turn our attention to the Titans to close out the AFC South. Derrick Henry, franchise tag, expected to be back. Darrington Evans, the rookie, pretty clear for him to have the number two role and the preferred handcuff in all situations. The other backs are Dalen Dawkins and Cinerese Perry. So Darrington Evans, Appalachian State, I told you as much on previous shows how much I like this kid. Well, got some explosiveness to his game, some juice, can handle some good receiving duties here. So I don't know if they want to overburden Derrick Henry here. He could wear down, obviously. He's a back slowly getting older with a lot of volume because of his days at Alabama as the Heisman Trophy winner. He's got a lot of yards he's pounded out, a lot of abuse he's taken between the tackles. So you've got to ensure Henry if you're going to draft him, invest him in fantasy football this year. And Darrington Evans certainly is that clear-cut answer behind Henry. And maybe they don't go long-term with Henry beyond this year or something breaks down and Evans is the guy beyond that. So something we're going to fully watch with this Titans backfield. But I bet Evans will be more involved than Deion Lewis was there in 2019. All right, let's go to the AFC West here and look at the first team up, the Broncos. Melvin Gordon is pretty much looking good here to be assured of a somewhat feature role. And Philip Lindsay was, of course, not happy about it because he's been very productive as an undrafted player the past 2 years. But they're changing up the offense with Pat Shurmur. That means less blocking there in the backfield and more based on spreading the field and creating some running lanes there. Melvin Gordon is pretty good in that scenario here. That's where his best work was with the Chargers when they were able to go 11 personnel very effectively there and use tight ends as well. So Melvin Gordon stepping in a good situation to see busy touches. He got paid pretty well here. Lindsay is pretty much going to be a straight-up backup. We'll see Royce Freeman occasionally in some roles. He can do well in pass protection, and he's also a pretty good finisher in the red zone. So we'll see some of that from Freeman. But Freeman, I think, has the pretty much the same role, just on a little lesser level, while Lindsay's going to see a big drop-off here with Gordon. So they still have Khalif Muhammad, too. They've liked him in the past. But this is Melvin Gordon's situation here, and I don't think Lindsay and Freeman are going to be a threat to them. It's going to be more Freeman cutting into Lindsay's work as well, beyond being displaced by Gordon here in this offense. We turn our attention to the Chiefs. We've talked a lot about Damien Williams and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that battle where it looks like the torch certainly looks ready to be passed to Edwards-Helaire, the first-round pick, while Damien Williams is a free agent after 2020. So it makes sense. Edwards-Helaire can do a lot. He's going to be the primary receiving back, but he also can be a tough runner between the tackles. So that's not good news for Damien Williams. It's not very good news either for Darwin Thompson and Darrell Williams, who are behind these guys. So I think Darwin Thompson, we had a lot of buzz about last year. Same thing, is Damien Williams going to fade? But the big difference here is that Darwin Thompson was a later-round pick, had some sleeper ability. They liked some speed and explosiveness that he had. But Edwards-Helaire has that in spades. Higher investment by Andy Reid and Brett Veach there. So Edwards-Helaire on track to be the number one. It'll be interesting to see how they break down the touches between Damien Williams, Thompson, and Darrell Williams. Darrell Williams has been pretty effective. He's got a little bit of niche down as a power back, while Thompson seems a little bit superfluous in his role here now that you have Edwards-Helaire in the mix, with Williams, who also has some juice and is a good receiver here. So that's how we see it. I think Darrell Williams, again, has that value because he can't finish drives, and that would be a mess if you have Edwards-Helaire have a split on the early down receiving situation and Darrell's closing there in the red zone. That would be the worst-case scenario, but again, Edwards-Helaire has the inside track to really lead this backfield here in 2020. The next team we'll look at is the Las Vegas Raiders, and pretty clear that Josh Jacobs is going to be their main man. Jalen Richard, their change of pace, seeing some action mostly in third down receiving situations there. Jacobs certainly a capable receiver, and he's able to be featured over three downs, but they want to watch it with the injuries he had last year, not to overwork him. They like Richard and what he can bring with the speed, a little bit of a wide receiver hybrid there as well. Same goes for Lynn Bowden there that they drafted out of Kentucky. They listed him as a running back, so he was a wide receiver prospect, potentially a converted quarterback. But Bowden, they're going to find ways to get him involved in a little bit of a hybrid role, kind of like Jalen Hurd, the 49ers got, but we never saw him on the field without help. But again, Bowden, again, might be more relegated to special teams here because of Jacobs and Richard being pretty solid. And I don't expect Devontae Booker necessarily to make the team. He's a little bit like Jalen Richard. He's had his chances with the rival Broncos, and isn't quite panned out for him. So, again, I think the Raiders pretty much are going to be Jacobs and Shard. Bowden could have some wrinkle plays where he makes an impact, be used on special teams. Booker has also some special teams ability, but in terms of touching the ball in this backfield, it should be a two-man approach for Las Vegas in their first season there. Now, finally, we close with the Chargers here. Austin Eckler is the man now without Melvin Gordon, but they're talking about a split where you look at Justin Jackson and Joshua Kelly both getting significant touches here. They also have Darius Broadwell there from Tulane. So they add a fourth back here. It could get a little crowded. But Eckler, I don't expect him to just simply absorb all of Melvin Gordon's work. He's a smaller back. He's going to be highly involved in the passing game. Look at their passing game. It's pretty much a Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry, then Eckler, with Mike Williams being more of the deep threat. So they want to keep him involved for that role. You'll still see him see some good red zone looks. He's an efficient runner there and all that. He'll still be the leader of this backfield in terms of touches and receptions and opportunities overall to score touchdowns. But Jackson and Kelly are going to definitely split some power work here. We'll see how Broadwell fits in the mix here as well in 2020. So there you have it. There's a backfield update on all 16 teams in the AFC. We'll come back and do the same with the NFC tomorrow, so check that out. Then we'll do the same thing again with wide receiver depth charts here for the AFC and NFC. So check out those shows here on the Locked On Network coming up here on Locked On Fantasy. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this is Vinny Iyer. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NFL. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.